listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Say, little bitch, you can't fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive. These is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes. Hit the store. Get them both. I don't want to choose. Got a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money moves.
Hey, welcome to the Black Out Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen. You do better than me, baby. I'm terrible at that.
We're live on a Sunday early in the morning. We have very special guest, Blair Nyez, a comedian who just put out her album Telling Jokes for Two, but she got big old pregnant belly on the cover. Mm-hmm. We listened to it this morning and yesterday. It's very funny.
It is.
Blair, thank you for coming on the show. How you doing?
I am good. Like I said, it's just new mom life. I'm so blessed. He's the most handsome, beautiful baby ever, but I am tired as fuck.
how old is he?
He is 1 month today.
Wow. Okay. Congratulations. Milestones.
Yes. We just took pictures. They're going to be all over social media. He has his own Instagram.
What?
Yeah, that's what parents do now. They get their children on Instagram and Twitters and all that stuff. They're just like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and prepare you for the future.
Well, from the shower, as you can see behind me, he had his own A Star Is Born and all of his. A marquee. So he's gonna be the most shy, introverted kid and hate everything because his parents are both performers.
Yeah, years from now, he'll be all in therapy like, they made an Instagram page on the day I was born.
I mean, we don't even use Instagram anymore.
I never even had a chance.
I mean, I used to say, like, you were only allowed to have a second Instagram if it's for your pet, for your kid, or if you like food, but I already have a food Instagram too now, so I may have to get rid of one.
Now, how long have you been doing stand up, Blair?
It will be 8 years this May.
Cool. And what made you get into it? Like, what was the thing that made you be like, I'm gonna get on that stage?
Well, my whole life, you know, a lot of comedians will say that, like, we come from a long line of storytellers and funny people, and even in my eighth grade yearbook, I think it said in the year 2020, I'd be a dancing gymnast comedian. This was the era of Dominique Dawes. It was the first black gymnast we really got behind. And I was like, I'm gonna be her. but what actually ended up sending me to my first open mic was a boy I thought was cute hit on me and said, you were funny and you should go to an open mic. So, basically it was just chasing dick. So.
You know, that's how a lot of people find their calling.
Yeah. And I went and I was funny and I was like, oh, cool. This is better than the whole relationship thing. I'm just going to be funny.
And how, where was that at that you went to your first open mic?
It's sad. It doesn't exist anymore. It was the Fort Mill Comedy Zone in Fort Mill, South Carolina, which is, the restaurant's still there. It's, Madison on the Corner.
Okay.
And, it's this tiny little, there's a comedian, Mo Alexander. He used to call it the comedy FEMA trailer. Because it's this back room.
I'm surprised they had
It's the worst place. Oh. It's the worst place to ever do, like, comedy, because the room goes all the way to the right and all the way to the left, and it's only like two rows in front of you. So it's like doing comedy in a hallway. You're like, am I right? And then people wouldn't always sit. They would not sit on both sides, so you'd just be like kind of doing comedy to like one side of the room. But yeah.
And I'm surprised that they actually have a comedy anything in Fort Mill, because Fort Mill is like a little small town in the middle of nowhere. It's grown a lot. So when you said that, I was like, Fort Mill? I've never heard of anything comedy in Fort Mill.
Yeah, well, it's not only, it was, you know, what's interesting is that they had like so many places to drink down there, because it's just DUI alley.
Yeah.
It's just long, dark, scary, winding roads.
Yes, it is. trees.
And like Tika K is not even a town, it's just a cul-de-sac. You just drive into it and right back down. just people drive, like rich white people driving golf carts. I remember actually first starting comedy and being like, I'd love to drink and like loosen up and do this, but I can't get back to Charlotte. I can't run this gauntlet.
Right. And the cops be out too in South Carolina.
Yeah,
man.
They so do. Just, they be on it.
It's like the heat down there. The heat and the cops.
Oh my God.
Like you cross the border, as soon as you cross that bump in the highway, it's like the heat goes up by like 10 degrees and then the cops just come out of everywhere.
Yes.
Well, I never trust a state where they tell you you don't have to wear a motorcycle helmet.
Right.
And they're like, oh, why are we the lowest in education? Like, 'cause they don't care about what's in your head. They're like, we'll just scoop it up.
Yes. In the...
I bet the same people, when you get to the border between South and North Carolina, like pull over and their motorcycles be like, oh, damn.
You know what? I've seen people do that before. I've seen people do that. Like, once you cross the border, you see the motorcycles literally pull over, or either they're driving down the road and you see like the passenger kind of putting it on like as they cross that border. Yeah. And the thing
it's
is,
ridiculous.
Yes, the thing is so funny when you talk about North Carolina, South Carolina. North Carolina, we actually do like inspections. South Carolina, they don't. So people complain. It's like they complain about that piece, you know, because people in North Carolina be like, y'all come up here polluting our air. And some of those cars, I'm not even going to lie. I'm like, how does it go on the road? I've literally have seen cars coming across the border from South Carolina, y'all, where they have actually taken rope and actually have tied like the bumper down, the hood down, because the cars don't have to pass any form of inspection. So nobody has to go to be sure that, you know, you're not polluting the air, important, to be sure that your parts ain't falling on the ground. Like, I'm like, what the hell is this? Like,
there's no emissions test, right? And their taxes are lower. And actually, you know what? South Carolina has actually got it going on because they have lower taxes. They have all new strip clubs, fireworks.
Yeah.
Just partying.
The fireworks thing tripped me out too, because like I said, we're right at the border in Charlotte, so it's like you can go 5 feet and you get tons. I'm talking about fireworks will blow your brains off. So can I like, here you go, North Carolina. North Carolina, like, y'all know y'all can't take that across the border, right? So it's funny. And when you're talking about like the highway, something else is really hilarious to me. When you're going down 77 and you cross between North Carolina and South Carolina, North Carolina, you go down the roads, and particularly when it's raining, it's, oh, the road is like super black. You can barely see it. Yep. You can better see the lines.
Yep.
When you, like right saying, when you hit that bump, you hit South Carolina, it's like the road jumps up 3 inches. And all of a sudden, the road is white. You can see because they make the road where the rain can kind of go down to the concrete and go off to the side. No, because I don't have that. So when you're going down, I can see the roads. What the fuck?
That's why I see the people, again, the motorcycles, they'll pull over next to North Carolina. They actually sit under the bridges, but they're riding forever in South Carolina, man. But the fireworks, I live right in Pineville, so it's like right near the border too. Mm. And we went to go get fireworks for our sex announcement, the baby's gender or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they had a cop in there. They have to actually have a police officer so people don't try to light fireworks in the parking lot. Like, it's legit, like, because they're like, you know where a good place to light fireworks is? Next to a giant warehouse full of explosives.
Holy shit.
They're like, you can go to jail. You have to sign a form. It's like... don't like this song. And I was like, oh,
it's like they just crossed the border and they're like, take off your helmets and get the fireworks out, let's go.
We got
cheap gas, let's go to the cheap gas station and we're gonna get some fireworks, some liquor, we're gonna do this.
Yes. And a lot of people,
South Carolina and Florida are both the states where you can go to a city or two and you're like, oh, this is nice, and then but the rest of the state you're like, what the fuck is happening to this.
And
you go to Miami, or you go to Tampa, or you go to like Charleston or Greenville, and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then anywhere else, you're like, don't get out.
You'd be like, don't go there. You might not make it. We have a lot of those pass through areas where they were probably on the Green Book years ago. They was like, these are the areas you do not go.
Right.
You know, like.
And they had those like weird town names like Lynchburg.
Come on.
Like, I'm like, how'd you get that name? You know, I don't want to know how you got that name. I'll get gas in the next town.
No, you be riding down the street. You're like, KKK country. Nobody told me. Why haven't I never heard of this before?
Yep. I drive all over, and a lot of the clubs that we play are rural. So it's like, if they were going to go to a big city, they would have gone to it, but we came to them. So it's like Jeff's Chicken Shack, and on Wednesdays, comedy.
Yeah.
And, I have performed at a bar where they had a Obama doll with a noose around his neck.
Whoa.
Man, I was like, hey, do you still want me here?
How does that work?
Because you baby?
You got to be funny. You know what I mean?
I know. That's how I know. It's like, I've gone to New York, Chicago. I was like, they're like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, because I have told comedy while standing on top of a bar. I have told comedy in a town that had a hanging tree.
Oh my God.
And at the end of it, they're like, you know what? I don't normally like your kind of comedy.
Yes!
Pray tell. tell me what it is that you don't like.
You know, the last comedian that came through here was hanging on that tree.
right.
Yeah.
right.
What is the name of that town? It's near Kannapolis, Spring. I can't think of it. I have to ask my friend. They only had horses. You couldn't drive your car to the town.
What?
You have to ride a horse into the town. We got paid.
Well, that's
and
what
I was
matters.
Younger. I mean, I think earlier in my career, I was like, oh, so someone was murdered at this hotel last night. Let's do it. We're getting paid in beer? All right. But now I'm like, excuse me, who's picking me up from the airport?
Oh, you was at that hotel that they did that movie about not too long ago. What was it? The night at the Aurel? That's the hotel you was at.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see that so bad. But yeah, no, it's like, especially now with the baby, I've gotten real picky about which gigs I'll do. Cause like, we go to the Atlantis in the Bahamas every year. And, it's like, I was like, that was the first gig I booked. I was pregnant. I was like, oh, we can do that. Yes. I can do 2 weeks in paradise. Bring my mom. We got a babysitter. We're good. but they're like, oh, do you want to go to Michigan in January?
I'm like, no.
Nope.
You're like, I am somebody's mother, okay? I need to take care of myself. I cannot be doing these La Quinta Inns, okay?
I like, no more Motel 13s. Yeah. I want 10 and under.
I don't do a hotel without a continental breakfast.
Right. I need my room door to be facing into a hallway, not the street.
Thank you.
People laugh when I said that, but that's real. I do not want to open up the door and hear car noises.
Nope. And it's a 50. It's weird though, because like the people that book these gigs don't always see what they're setting us up with. You know, the venue's not as shady as frequently as the accommodations are. And being a woman, especially like I'm like not young anymore, I'm 36, but when I first started and I was like leaving, you know, going to the clubs and like tight little dresses and coming back to these murder ends, like, we definitely had blood on the wall. I love it when they're near military bases, because that's when we have lots of pawn shops that sell guns.
Yes.
Yeah. We have very obvious prostitutes.
Yes. I was going to ask you, has anybody ever tried to proposition you?
I opened the microwave, there was roach in it. Oh, they propositioned me. They're like, do you want, like, you're barking up the wrong heterosexual. I opened the microwave in Georgia and there was a roach inside of it, alive. He was like, shut the door. I was
like, you letting all the heat out.
I was mad. I was like opening it to put something in. So I was mad because I was like, well, it's not happening now. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, we once stayed in a motel, and the motel had ants all over the place.
Oh my God.
They were everywhere. It was like, we discovered them all slowly, because it wasn't like, obviously we didn't just like walk in and see the ants. Like, we were just like in there chilling for a bit, and I was like, oh, that's weird. There's an ant on this thing. let me just kill that ant. And then I was like, wait, yeah, there's more ants. Wait, there's a line of ants. Hold up. There's an army of fucking ants in this place. I have to leave. Yes. So it was crazy.
Our motel slash hotel standards are better.
Yeah, we go to the front desk. Like, do you have another room? Okay, that one had blood. Okay, that one has no TV. Okay, that one has.
Like, you are staying at the La Quinta. That was our honeymoon suite. Okay, so the ants are on the house. By the way, we give you the ants for free, and you are just spitting in our hospitality.
We have a lot of bad hotel stories. Yeah, like a lot actually. I was thinking, I was like, my boyfriend Ryan, he was in Jacksonville, and Jacksonville, Florida is just full of stories. So he heard them next door talking about doing Xanax, and they were all like, and he was talking through the vent. He was like, wow. And they're like, someone said wow. Like, oh,
shit. Kill him. The drug deal is over. Who's snitching? Pow, 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 pow. I
mean, he tells the story on stage like in a fun way, but he called me that night. He's like, I might die. They are walking around saying, nobody's going to be listening to know me in my hotel room. Like, we paid good money for this here drug den.
Now, is Telling Jokes for Two your first album, like official, like stand-up album?
It is, yeah. I could have probably put out two by now, maybe three. I've had, you know, 8 years of comedy. I don't like to visit the same towns or even my hometown and tell the same jokes. But I was motivated, and I was really inspired by Baby Cobra. It's like she did Wong did her album when she was 7 months pregnant, and I was actually trying to do it 8 months pregnant, but I got to seven and I was like, nope, can't do it. Not gonna have this baby kicking while I'm telling jokes. That's not okay. But yeah, I was just like, I was still performing while I was pregnant, but I just felt like I needed to really do something to be like, I'm a badass right now. And so it's not even that much about the baby. It's the fact that I'm doing it with the baby.
Yeah, like, that's some jokes say about motherhood. Yeah, it's not like the material isn't like all just like pregnancy material. Like it's a bunch of like just slice of life stuff.
It's weird because like I usually talk about what's going on in my life. So I thought when I first wanted to endeavor this, it was going to be a whole hour about baby, but I'm like, I got sick of that. Like, if you're not pregnant, you have kids, you can't relate, and I don't want to do a whole thing. Like,
true,
you know, it was a mother's convention or something,
and also like, that's like everybody's like least favorite thing in regular life is somebody that talks only about their kid. Like, like, you know, at work, like, look at my kids, and you're like, oh god, I hate that guy.
Oh, I was getting ready to pull my phone out. I'm sorry. That's an adorable baby. We got his Jordans on today. Can you see it on the phone?
Oh, that's what the hour should be. The hour should just, the next hour is just you being like, hold up, y'all, hold up. Check this out. Look at him. He was taking a bath. Everybody passed the phone around. And
Well, so when Ryan and I, we're getting ready to do this Valentine's Day show, and we go back, and then we close it out together, telling stories on the road together. So this time, since we have a baby, we're doing like a slideshow, and it's going to be just basically our commentary on all the pictures.
That's cool.
So, like, cause he makes some, first of all, this is a wide ass baby. My boyfriend is white, and I thought he was going to come out like light skin. Like, I thought he was going to be like Jesse Williams with like maybe the light eyes, little nappy hair, little caramel complexion. He looks like he's Persian. He's like, everyone's going to think he's Latino. This is a white baby. Dad, just keep hoping for that melanin to come in.
Yeah, I wonder, how long does it take for the melanin to come in anyway? I heard it don't come in right away.
I think he's done.
Okay. So you about to be getting all the looks in public.
I mean, I want to give you a little bit of hope. Come on now, baby.
I brought him out in public yesterday, and all the black folks in Sam's Club were looking at me like, is she babysitting?
Yes, that's happened to some of my family members where they said that they've been asked that. But as they get older, they do darken. Like, you know, a lot of children. Yeah. Some children don't, but most children do.
Get them out there in that sun. Well,
the good news is he does, I think he does look like me. He definitely has my eyes and he's got like, you know, black nose and mouth. So yeah. I'm hoping as they gets older, they'll be like, oh, you just made a light ass baby. And I'm like, I got weak ass jeans. They didn't fight for nothing in there. Like white power ran over my jeans.
Oh man.
They was in there going, well, y'all know who rules around here. Not the dark side.
And we did this ancestry.com thing like the year before we got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And we found out that I'm like 40% Nigerian and mm-hmm. he's like 30-35% Irish. So we were like, oh, we're gonna have a fighter. Like, he's gonna come out with martial arts. Getting drunk, stealing people's money, whatever.
And then, yeah,
they pulled him out, and I was like, "That's a white baby." That's the first thing I said. What is that white baby?
They're like, let's put him back in. He's not done yet. We took him out a little early. Hold on. How long did you how long did you perform before, like, up until the birth?
Yeah, so I, up until, he was due January 4th, and he came a week early, but I booked until the 1st of December, and then something got canceled, and I was like, good, because I don't really want to do it, and then we had a last minute fallout. Sometimes we do all sorts of comedy when there's money, like, there's right. so many gigs that if they didn't pay well, I wouldn't have done them,
right.
And it was just a little apartment gig, you know, where they get like, you know, it's like, oh, it's a holiday party. And the comedian that was supposed to perform went to the wrong apartment and couldn't get there in time. Oh. So they like literally called us 7 minutes before the show was about to start. And they're like, can you do it? And Ryan was out for a run. This is like probably December 10th. So mm-hmm. I was laying with feet up, just complaining. Right. And Ryan was out for a run. He comes back in. I go, we got to go. And he's like, what? What's wrong? Is your water broken? And I was like, no, we got a gig. And I just went there. I mean, I was like, we had already done an ultrasound where they guessed his weight at 7 pounds. So I was very pregnant.
Wow.
So, that was like about 2.5 weeks out. But I only did it for the money.
Yeah.
I was very happy to not perform.
Yeah.
At that point. Cause he was moving. He was moving so much.
Were you touring while also like pregnant, or were you kind of like, is there a point where you're just staying around, like, the local area?
No, my last big gig was in mid-October.
Okay.
So the month of November, the October I recorded the album and I went to Chattanooga. We performed at the Chattanooga Choo Choo, which we love making fun of that. It's not an adult name, it's all a train. Look at the Choo Choo. And, I remember that's when I started getting really tired. We went to the aquarium there and I was like, there's two buildings? Well, we're not seeing the freshwater fish. We're not doing it. It's not happening. But yeah, that's the last major tour was October. And then, yeah, that third trimester, they don't warn you. It's, whew. The breasts are out there, the belly. I gotta pee every 5 seconds. You can only sleep for an hour at a time.
Wow.
You're hungry, you're nauseous. You're hungry, but you can only eat this much because the kids, and like, when he came out, we were like, oh, that's why I couldn't eat, because he's a kicker. He's just pushing my lungs up.
And now that you had the baby, like, what's life like now?
He runs everything. I keep trying to, like, you know, I got side hustles. Like I tutor, we host trivia. I'm emceeing actually a Planned Parenthood event in February. I'm trying to do like little things just to get out and not lose my mind. But comedy this year with him is going to be more like major, like, quality gigs.
Right.
Like, theaters and stadiums and you know, big vacation resorts, so I can take him and have my mom there watching him. I'm not doing the little running around to like every little dive bar and stuff because I just don't have time for it. I'm like, and you know, we'll see if I want to get back into that after, but it's going to be probably it's a natural progression for your career to take that next step up anyway, so
right.
Yeah, and you know what, I've heard a lot of comedians say that, like, once they get older, it's like you're going from like the back of the airplane to like first class, and you're like, I will never go back. Yes. That is the ghetto. Yeah. I want to be able to tell jokes and not smell the fried chicken and fish that they're cooking. Like, no thank you.
Yeah. And it's like, they'll take, you know, they'll be like, hey, we're offering this much money. Like, you're sitting there like, right. I know, but I have to talk to people after. So a lot of the gigs I've been doing, booking for the next couple of months are, like, I consider a more quality gig, right. And they're like 2 to 3 hour drives. Mm. I'm not really ready to do the 10 hour drive Miami nighter. And yeah, I don't,
wow.
You know, when you're young, you put that work in and you get good.
Yes.
It's good training, you know? But then you get to this level and you're like, if you have it by 7 or 8 years in to pick and choose what gigs you do, you're miserable.
Right.
You are. And, you are. That's just what it is. You're just like, I hate this. Yeah.
And what is the local, like, what's the, like, local Charlotte comedy scene? Like, how's that, like, what's it like being down here? What is, cause I, you know, like, I don't really associate Charlotte with comedy in my head, but it feels like, That's not really fair, because there's only like Boston, LA, Chicago, and New Miami, York that people talk about nationally, you know, right. Like, yes. So it's not really fair to say there's, you know, it's just, I just never hear about it really. So how is it here? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, well, there's a thing that make a city good for comedy, and it's like the comedians, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'd say a city like the closest city here that I would say is a great comedy city is Atlanta.
Yes,
everybody, there's not just hipster indie comic, there's not just urban or black or minority comedy, there's a lot, and people cross over and bounce back and forth, and everyone holds each other accountable. So if you go up on stage and you hear that this dude's gone 4 straight weeks at open mic with all new material and it's killing, you're like, oh, I can't put this bullshit.
Right.
Raleigh is the same thing. So the comics rising to the occasion is one. Number two is the city. Like, Atlanta's way bigger than Charlotte.
Right.
Even though we're the biggest city in North Carolina. Or if it's culturally aware enough, like Raleigh, even though it's smaller, are into like the arts.
Right.
Charlotte is very much a business and banking city, mm-hmm. and people come out for, they're like, oh, Samora's here, or oh, right. Amy Schumer's here. So they come out for big name,
mm-hmm. right.
but they're not like, you know, I love supporting independent arts. You know? whereas I feel like we definitely have a lot of comics here that are hustling and they're looking for that brass hole. I don't know, you know, I wouldn't say they're not as good as others. I do think that they get their hearts broken of support.
Right.
And so they, you know, people, there's a lot of turnover. There's someone that'd be really great and they come out and they just have 2 years of getting like shitty turnouts at open mics and big celebrity shows not even having the best turnouts. So, and they just kind of go, all right, well, I'm going to go back to my day job. or they just get really bitter. So, but what I did notice is we started this Queen City Comedy Festival, and I did that this last year. I did that very pregnant.
Yeah.
The summer. It would not get to be fall here. I was looking forward to being this big pregnant lady in the fall and the winter, and it mm-hmm. never got cold. And
nope.
I was like, fuck you, global warming.
Right.
I'm so hot. But, people in Charlotte support sketch comedy a lot. Like, Robot Johnson's super popular. Mm. They support the improv groups because everybody loves improv.
Right.
And it's funny because it's like the improv and sketch people are like the well-adjusted, happy people. They're like, oh, we do comedy with our friends. And the comics are all bitter. Comics are like bitter, like, I wrote a good joke, damn it. I can be on TV and no one's listening to me. Everybody that's really become anybody out of Charlotte's moved, you know,
like
I'd say me and 3 or 4 other comics here are really solid, really ready for that next level. And we haven't moved. And if we had, we might have got to that next level. But that's like, you know, I was kind of like, bloom where you're planted. Because I was just trying to, I'm not going to New York to fail and come back.
Right.
I was like, and be living in a closet. Because I have a friend who literally lives in a closet, okay?
Yeah.
It's a walk-in closet, but it's
but
a closet.
Still, nah, the rent up there is sky high.
Yeah,
a twin-size mattress sitting there, but he's paying $900 a month rent for that. So,
oh, no.
Right.
I was like, Mm-mm. But I think, yeah, Charlotte, I think you should go out and support it. There's right. definitely quality stuff to see. And I definitely think that this is one of the cities, though, I would say pay for the show you're seeing. Mm-hmm. If you're not like super into comedy and you're just kind of testing it out, go to the Comedy Zone or go to another venue or show you see advertised and pay so you know that whoever's producing it is saying this is worth quality. Cause right. I've seen people, they'll go out to an open mic and some angry guy that lives at home with his mom and has two lower, like minimum wage jobs just bitching about how his girlfriend left him. And they're like, I don't like comedy.
Oh yeah. Right.
And all you have to do is have someone, like you can go see a band at a right. bar and they're like, oh, what is this? I hate that. But they'll go back next week and see more music.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If they see that open mic, they're like, done.
Yeah. That is funny. Like comedy stand up is really, really one of the few things like that where somebody sees one bad example of it and they're just like, fuck that. I don't like comedy. I don't like stand up. Yeah. But yeah, but like if it was music, nobody goes, this band sucks. I don't like music. Like you're like, no, I don't like this band and I'll continue to support it, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is like, I know when I first started, I wasn't good and I was lucky. There was a swell when I was here. There was a lot of the millennials mm-hmm. were just there in 18 to 25. They were that age then. And they were like, we support you. Yay, Blair. Tell that joke I like. And I was, you know, if I had this, the climate now that's out there, I don't know if I would still be doing it. I would mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm a funny karaoke host.
And how is like how's integrating like social media into all this now, like is that that changed in the last like 8 to 10 years?
It's been a lot of different things that have happened. A lot of comics I know, including myself, don't want to put good jokes on Twitter or Facebook because we're afraid someone will steal them. And not even another comic, like somebody doesn't get what joke theft is,
right?
So you gotta kinda like, you know, copyright your name on a meme or something, and then I'm that late millennial. I'm not totally into technology. I'm like, this is hard. Forget it. But also building your, like I try to delete friends on Facebook. I've got right. like 5,000 friends, but which is the max all time. I try to build fans on my fan page. I've got a lot of people follow me on Twitter, like 3 to 5,000 on Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
And you'll see that Twitter is, Ryan's really good at it. It's a weird animal. You know, people work their social media different ways.
Right.
Like Twitter is like the most simple, like Fridays. Am I right? And you get like 5,000 retweets. Mm-hmm. It's so simple.
There's also no rhyme or reason to this shit mm-hmm. because like I'm on Twitter and, sometimes some shit I'll say will go viral and sometimes it won't and I don't have any fucking clue.
Any reason.
It can literally just be like, man, I'm tell you what, cheese sandwiches are fucking terrible. And that shit, it'll be like, and it's not always good to go viral because mm-hmm. like, sometimes it's like 1,000 people being like, man, fuck you, cheese sandwiches raise me. Yeah. You don't know nothing about cheese sandwiches, boy.
My father was a cheese raiser.
Yeah, people like you.
That's Instagram is nicer. And people on Instagram are nice. They won't comment a negative thing. They don't they don't like your picture. They just keep scrolling.
Right.
You know?
You gotta be like super famous before. Like only famous people get bad Instagram comments. You
correct.
Know, like, cause then for some reason it's like, oh, it's Kim Kardashian. Fuck you, bitch. I hate you. But then if it's just like, you know, somebody that you started liking or whatever, they'll be nice. Yeah, exactly.
and then Facebook is weird because it's a mix of people you know.
Right.
And then it's a mix of fans. I have a lot of up and coming comics that know I produce shows and want to like follow me and be in touch with me. I don't know who they are.
Right.
And then there's my old friends. So there'll be like someone that goes like, that statement is dumb. And then a high school friend like, you're dumb. And then a family like, I think she's funny.
Right.
But one thing that I've crossed now on all Facebook, Twitter a little bit, but definitely Instagram because that's the nature of it, pictures. If you have a picture and it's a statement picture, like even if it's just like you eating a donut, people see that and they stop.
True.
Baby has like, I was literally like, that's why I started to be wildly successful. Then I started freaking out and I stopped inviting people because I was like, why are these people following my baby? I got like 400 likes on my baby just having gas. I'm like, people, they love babies.
Yeah,
they love
babies, and dogs.
People like DMing, yeah, people DMing yeah. your baby and stuff. Like, don't hit my yeah. baby's DMs. What's wrong with y'all? Can't read.
It's weird though, because like, people like me. Like, I know they don't. Like, they've said, right. Blair, I don't like you. Like, wow. That baby! Give me that baby! And I'm
like, like, what is wrong with you?
It's basically it's like that, everybody is, it's like people on the internet can be your in-laws. That's how in-laws is. Oh, I don't like you. Oh, wait, this a baby? Hold up. I didn't know.
That is the best metaphor, actually. Like, I've had people be like, this guy, he works in the business. He's like, I don't like you. But, oh, no, he was actually pointing. He goes, I don't like Blair, but I respect her. And I was like, well, I'd rather you respect me, actually.
Right. Like, who?
What's you like me gonna do? It's not gonna write any checks for me. Respect the fuck out of me.
Right. So my check will be equal to everybody else's. Cool.
But he's literally like trying to creep on my baby. He's like, that's a good looking baby. And I'm like, okay.
I can't stand your mama. Look at you. You're adorable. I can't stand your mama. Oh, that's terrible.
I'm building bridges here. I'm mending gaps.
What all kind of stuff do you have to do to hustle to like make a living in Charlotte? You know, it feels like you would have to like constantly be working.
Right.
Don't work in Charlotte.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I mean, about 3 months in, I started my own open mic. I found you have to be good at business. I'd say everybody right. who's making money in Charlotte either still has their day job and they found a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. Will Jacobs is a really good friend of mine. He's an attorney. He hosts the Comedy Zone podcast. Mm-hmm. He hosts features and headlines for Comedy Zones in town and on the road. I don't know if he still does improv, but that's how he got his start with the right. Charlotte Comedy Theater. So yeah, he's got like 9 hustles. Like I've wow. asked him to do, like I had a brunch show and I was like, can you come out? And he was like, yeah. So in that hour I would do your show, I would lose money. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I get it. No, make your money. You got kids and shit. but yeah, the other comics I know that like the adult comics, like people like 28 and up, are like they work from home or they work 4-day weeks or their jobs are cool with them taking off to travel on the road for comedy. Because even if you're well liked and very professional and in with the Comedy Zone and you're working 2 to 3 times in the club in year in Charlotte, the flagship.
Yeah.
And you're on the road doing like 7 or 8 gigs a year and you're working for other clubs, like, you know, like, Funny Bone or Improv, or there's lots of clubs out there. You have to make it a show business. You know, people don't really always understand that and be like when I was still pregnant and did not want to think at all about touring, and I'm in the hospital, like getting sewn up, and I'm like, yes, I can do March 26th at the casino in Maryland, because you have to be booking ahead and thinking ahead. And, I treat it like a job. Like, you know, when I was at the peak of touring, every day I got up 9 a.m. out there submitting my availabilities, my comedy update videos, and now you have to say, look at my social media following. This is my most recent video. I was on for me, it's always been side hustles. I've been right. like, I've done motivational speaking. I perform at colleges, which pay very well. which was really great when I got to perform right here at Johnson & Wales. I was like, I'm making so much money and I don't even need to pay for travel.
Ooh, I mean, did they feed you? That's the cooking school.
No, they had popcorn and cotton candy. I what? Was like,
oh, was it made from scratch? That's the only way that would be flames.
No, they had a popcorn machine. It was a little, you know, but I mean, but I got the most followers from that. Like, I love doing colleges. They're hard because the same kids that will be singing like, Cardi B. Right. And like talking about like, if you want safe sex, get the knee pads and all right. that shit. But then I talk about transgender for a second and they're like,
yeah.
Mm-mm. Like they're politically correct in the wrong areas. So you have to, it sharpens your skills to be able to do, but they are all about social media. So they will be like, yo, this album was so good. Like, you know, go listen to Blair. And then like, I'll get like 60 retweets. So,
Yeah, because they're all on it. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, they're like those kids grew up on social media. Correct. And so it's it's not so far fetched.
They don't even know about not being available. Yeah. Your cell phones there. But I also I was on WCCB News Rising for a year. I was on their little couch chats like you do. That was not the best fit for both of us because it's a very Christian network, and I also did that. Yeah, anyone else that was going on that show wasn't getting paid when they came in for guest spots, but I hustled that because I was like, to be on your show, I'm not going out of town.
Right.
So when there was budget cuts, Blair was the first to go. Right. But I representation with an acting agency. So for me, I'm like jack of all trades. That's the only reason I'm not starving.
And then with the news, WCCB, was that like in the morning times at night? Like
in the morning. What's that? 4:30? Something ridiculous like that. That's early.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I had a monthly show called Almost Famous. I'm not going to do it monthly this year because, you know, baby, I'll do like two or three of those, and there's going to be two or three, all women showcases, and, I'm bringing some big people into town, like the internet sensations, like Instagram, like Simone B and stuff.
Okay.
So, I'm working on producing shows too. That's another way I have money coming in. Like, this probably have like 7 side hustles, but, I try to make them all related to entertainment. But yeah, I would have my show, start at 8, 8:30 if we were on CP time. at the Music Factory, you have a concert at the Fillmore. I have to wait. I have people showing up, like, you know, I'm parking. So my show will be done at 10. Then I'm like, you know, paying out all my comedians. And then hanging out and having some drinks. Mm-hmm. And then I'm getting home at like midnight, 12:30. And then I have to be at the studio at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that hurt.
Wow.
So, I think there might have been 1 or 2 times on air that I might not have still been sober from the night before. But it was my best show. I was like, I was like, this is great. And, you know, the chef would come on and be cooking, and I'm like, I'm not, nom, nom, nom.
I got to get something on my stomach.
I got called into the office about 2 times. Then they were like, so there's this one clip you said. We're going to watch it again. And I was like, it was when Rob Kardashian was calling out China Black. And he was saying she had to have reconstructive surgery, and I was like, listen, she had 2 kids. It's not like it's the Holland Tunnel down there. And they had 2. That's not something you can say on TV, apparently.
Wow. I'm not in trouble. They're like, please.
But you have to understand, like, this WCCB had the 700 Club with Pat Robertson.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is the guy that's saying that there's war in the Middle East because there's gay people. Right. So they didn't necessarily... I wasn't always the best fit.
You know what's funny is that they have like, now the thing for me is the cool nighttime news people. Those are the funniest people to me. Yeah. Like anything that comes on, I don't know when it started happening where they were just like, listen, 11 o'clock news, we're not taking it serious no more.
Right. We know everybody's going to bed.
Like, you're hanging out with your friends now. Like, soon as we watch the shows on the CW. And so soon as the CW like arrow goes off or whatever, it's like there's like hip hop music playing and shit.
Yes, partying.
Everybody's standing doing the news, like nobody's sitting down. They're like,
yeah, if I switched over to nighttime, that would have been so great. QCB is actually one of the news that's on that. And he does stand up as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've seen him a couple times. He's funny. And it's like, but yeah, the nighttime shows, just, they're like, if they figure you're okay, it's not going to be house stay-at-home moms and stuff watching you. Like, yeah. And it's not only, you don't have to be up at 5:30. You have to be there. And you have to be like, hair, makeup. And I'm not one of those girls. Like, I put on heels that I could not walk in. I would wear my flats over to the couch and then put heels on just so they looked cute.
Right.
But yeah, it's a whole different animal. So.
It's just crazy. Yeah, because like that's the funny news. I didn't even know it was funny. We got some news, bitch. Oh. Yeah. 12 people got shot. Let's dance over to the table.
Yes. They'd be like, oh, the jokes.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing, man. Yeah.
Well, that's the fun thing about, that's why I like when we have good shows like that. like we come out on stage, you know, the audience is good when you come, I come out to like, you know, a song and I'm just dancing to it. Like I was like coming out to Kendrick, Humble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my left stroke just went viral. Like, okay, you guys are ready. You guys are happy. I'm going to sit here and talk. I'm not singing anymore. Like, we're right. not rapping. I'm going to talk to you about how my mom's a bitch, but we're gonna, like, it's like I'm just telling jokes to my friends. You know, I'm not just like, because when they're like sitting, oh God, we've done, I did a Baptist church outside Knoxville, Tennessee, wow. in the middle of the day, and they were just like, and I was like, all right, yeah. Don't you hate it when you take a shit and then you have to take a shower and then you have to take a shit again?
Now, did you yeah, do did like, you do that one pregnant? Because I feel like they would have been judging.
Yeah, no, it's let me tell you, so this is the funny thing about the South. I wear a ring usually on my left hand anyway, just so men don't mess with me.
Right.
But Ryan and I were like, we'll get married at some point. Cause we're both like, he's from Jersey, I'm from Boston. We're like Yankee sensibility. And, a lot of people be like, oh, are you married? And I was like, no, because my eggs were going to expire before my ring finger did. So like, they just assume we're married. Right. And they're like, it's a bastard child then.
Like, right. They'll be like, oh, so you're a harlot, as they call it.
Oh, yeah, this isn't Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yeah, no. People just say, like I literally will keep saying, they're like, okay, so you and your husband are in room 401. I was like, my boyfriend and I will need an extra key. And they're like, okay, does your husband need them? And they keep correcting me. They're like, oh, poor child. He doesn't know.
Yeah. Oh, ma'am. No,
living in sin. It's the South. They don't care. I'm north.
No, ma'am.
I don't have to get married.
The correct word for a man who gets you pregnant is a husband. Okay. I didn't mean to correct you like that, but you clearly don't know the words.
Yes, I have to make my conscience feel better. right.
I told him I have to marry him now, though, because I'm not walking around with this white baby and a different last name. They're going to take him from me. They stopped that lady at the airport. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's not even his name.
I know.
You stole that white baby.
Yes.
The administration we got now, they will be trying to check. They'll be like, deport her, okay? Right. We will check later.
Yeah. See something, say something. See, I see something, so I'm saying.
I know. They're you're gonna mess around. They're gonna come in and they're gonna get that white man back his property and beat it. It won't be pretty, baby.
Oh, man. But make sure you guys get the album, man. It's Telling Jokes for Two. Blair Nyas, and it's spelled BLAYR. And Nyas is NIAS.
Why? Your mom's a bitch. That's why. Let's make it hard for everyone.
Now, we also. We also have some games that we play on the show, okay? And Blair, we'd love for you to play some games with us, okay? Now, the games aren't necessarily the most fun, but they do have theme music, okay? Yeah, we do have some theme music.
We sing up front.
The first game is a little game that we like to call Fucking with Black people.
Okay.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's see who's fucking with us today. Here's one. Florida. Fittingly.
Yep, here we go. None.
Florida Secretary of State Mike Ertel resigns after Halloween blackface photos emerge.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what?
How black.
Right? I've always wondered, when it comes to blackface, is it something that you have to fill out an application for? Is it something like, because so many people come out with this stuff, like, it Right. I mean, is there like a sorority and fraternity for this that y'all don't tell nobody? It's the blackface gang, because you get to a certain point, everybody's like, I got one too.
I'm gonna say 75 because I haven't seen the picture. And I don't know what he was dressing up as, because I've seen some really bad blackface. Like,
I got the picture. I got the picture. Okay. So reserve your scores until you get the details. Okay. Now, first of all, the thing I have to say for this dude is this is Florida, and so the dude that won that state beat Andrew Gillum. Remember the black dude that was kind of sassy? Ron DeSantis is the guy's name. He's like super racist or whatever, right? So that dude won. This is his Secretary of State, Mr. Blackface. All right, so Thursday morning, Michael Ertel, appointed Secretary of State by Governor Ron DeSantis weeks earlier, testified before a House committee about the several lawsuits filed over the 2018 election. By mid-afternoon, he turned in his resignation.
Oh.
After photos emerged of him posing as a Hurricane Katrina victim in blackface.
Wow. Yeah.
At a Halloween party 14 years ago. So
14 years ago. Okay, so it was current. So
right. That makes it even worse. Because at first I was like, who the fuck is doing blackface in 2018?
But I was like, that's super creative.
Yeah, but he actually literally found a way to make it worse, because it's like, remember when Katrina was fresh? I thought it was hilarious.
I mean, I'm trying to imagine ways to make this not bad, but the thing is, like, he could have been a Hurricane Katrina victim, and that would have been really insensitive. With wind blown hair and like newspapers and stuff on him, like send help, not in blackface.
Right.
Just
right.
The hurricane.
Right.
Cause there were white people that died there and were suffering.
Right.
But, what really pisses me off about the blackface is when they've worked on this character. Mm. Like, I've had someone come to an open mic and he went to the bathroom before he went on stage and put on blackface, like foundation, like my complexion foundation, and a Celtics jersey and an afro, and did jokes like, you know when your girlfriend wants to give you your baby but you're trying to smoke your Newports, like, it's a white dude.
Wow.
I was like, he worked on this as a persona. Like, he was practicing in front of a mirror. His friends told him it was funny. Like, why don't they have friends that stop them?
Right. He's like, I don't want there to be any confusion that I am racist. Okay. I don't want, if you just see the blackface, you might think I made a mistake. No. I'm gonna need a wig. I'm gonna need a jersey, and I'm gonna need some horrible jokes. And, that's how you'll know for sure.
That's a good point. Corey over here said, he's making, why is he making fun of a hurricane victims and he's from Florida?
Right.
That shit didn't happen to you?
Yeah, and it's also crazy because I remember when Katrina happened and they weren't getting any aid down there, and it took like 3 or 4 days for George W. Bush to even send people down there to help.
The Superdome was flooded.
Yeah.
There was murder. There was, he was doing it when it was hot.
Right. And it took Kanye embarrassing. Man. Like, Kanye had to go on Saturday Night Live and embarrass George W. Bush, and be like, Judge Bush does not care about black people. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, I care. Get the helicopters. Let's go. And they got out there all late and shit. Yeah. But it's funny that the face of that for a lot of people were just because it was black people for them in the lower wards and whatnot. So many people just didn't care. And that's really what that guy is saying, because, as you said in the chat, you make a great point. Florida has hurricane victims, Hurricane Andrew. Mm-hmm. So what is it that's funny about the other states' hurricane victims other than, I associate them with being black?
Yeah. We had to get Sean Penn out there in a rowboat with a shotgun, the white man army trying to save everyone. You know, and I've seen people try to do, I get this a lot. I get a lot of my material is race related. Mm. And I make fun of what I've had to deal with.
Right.
My life, like my shirt says, I'm not racist, I have black friends. Because I've heard that.
Right.
Now some people buy that shirt because they're like, I do have black friends. And I'm like, I'll take your money. And some people are like, oh, that's funny. You can't prove you're not racist by saying I have black friends. I get that you're being like tongue in cheek with this. So I can understand if he had some sort of like, you know, statement he was making about it. Mm-hmm. Like, they made a meme now with, it's not real. Someone made it, but they had George W. Bush coming out like about a month ago saying Kanye West doesn't care about black people. New school Kanye was saying like how he wouldn't have been a slave and then he's going to talk to Trump and stuff.
Right.
So, and you know, you can, if you can turn it around and make it funny, like that there's some satire there.
Right.
But like,
yeah.
Like, or like, even like, I remember there was a girl who was trying to be the, It's always white women doing it too, because they're like, why can't I be in blackface? Like, my favorite actress is black. Can I have you Vanessa Williams? That girl, she had hair like yours. She had the little balls on her head. She wanted to be, what's it, Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, I remember that.
She was some actress.
And somebody else did. The stars actress. There was also a woman who did cosplay as Michonne from Walking Dead, and she did, she tried. Like, the thing is, okay, so. I'm not saying
we that get it's, it. We get the character without the blackface,
right? And I'm not necessarily saying that it's okay. I just want to be clear that I'm not saying that it's okay. Okay, let's just start right there. But
yeah,
being that it is not okay, there are still levels to this shit. Okay, there's a level of blackface where I'm like, oh, you actually try to look like the black person, right? Like
they just wanted. They just wanted to be black so bad, and they were using Halloween as an excuse. Like, just like the girls that want to be sluts, and they're like, yay, it's slut day!
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then there's this other level where it's just like, you took the blackest shoe polish and put it on your face. That's just racist. No black person looked like that.
You know what? I'm gonna stand at Rite Aid next Halloween and at the brown makeup L'Oreal cup, and any white person that comes by, I'm gonna be like, nope, I'm just gonna swap their hands. I went as Audrey Hepburn from Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I didn't wear whiteface. Right. Everyone knew who I was.
Right.
You know, I would never even consider. I wore a straight bouffant, and I had a cigarette holder. That's it. And they're like, you're Holly Golightly.
Like, white kids have gotten to be the characters from Black Panther this year. They don't put on blackface. They just put on a costume and they just walk around and we're like, oh, obviously you're fucking Black Panther. You didn't need, like, it's not like we were like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not comic book accurate, dude. I'm gonna need you to go ahead and black it up. Like, calm down.
Oh,
so
man.
Anyway, I got the picture of this guy.
I saw that movie. Let's see the picture. Let's see it. Yes.
All right. It's pretty bad. He put on like a bra and stuffed it. He really went there.
No.
He really went for
it. Okay, so what number on the scale is goosebumps? Because I have anger. Oh man,
that would be 100. That would be 100 is what you're feeling right there.
And it looks like a bad tan.
This reminds me of,
how did he make
you guys talked about yet or heard about?
Oh, go ahead.
It's where people on Instagram and stuff are trying to make themselves look darker.
Yes, the nigger fish. Yes, we've talked about the nigger fish. God damn it.
And it's like, and my mom told me that since I was a little girl, she was like, white people always want to, oh mom, you're just old school racist. She's like, no, they perm their hair to be curly, they plump their lips up, they tan their skin. And I was like, you know, oh no, the world is happy. I want to just believe that. And I get out there and I'm like, nah, yeah. They're adding injections to their butts. They just really want to be.
Yeah, the weird part for me is not that. I mean, well, obviously it's weird to kind of want to be black or whatever. but beyond that, it's also that they get like rewarded for doing it. So like that girl that does like Catch Me Outside. Mm-hmm. How about that? That girl is like a hot rapper. Like people are supporting her as a rapper. She just made
100% white.
She 100% white. She just
is
made.
She all white. Catch Me Outside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like her dad, cause her dad, the reason we know is like her mom went on Dr. Phil, right? But then her dad, who was like, he's mad. Like he's like.
He's been trying to take custody.
Yeah, he's like, you have our daughter out here. She's like fucking in these streets. She's like, getting drunk. She's at clubs. She's only 15. Like, what the fuck are you doing with our daughter? No. And they didn't give a fuck. Like, her the mom was like, no. So, but yeah, it's just weird because
the mom was like, it's making money.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's weird because like, if that was just like a little black girl who was known for being bad, everybody would be like, if you don't get your ass in the house, it wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm gonna buy her album. I'm gonna support this. It'd be like, fuck you. What's wrong with that girl? Not where are her parents? It's such a double standard. But, yeah, this guy gets 100 from me. Karen?
Same.
All right, Blair?
What's that?
What score do you give this guy? 0 to 100 scale, intervals 25.
If I can only go to 100, yeah, that's fucked up. I see why the game is not fun now. I get it.
Yeah, see, then they can all be winners. Let's see. I'll do one more of these. How about?
Yeah, spot on with the Paul Mooney quote. I like that. Everybody want to be a nigga, but nobody want to be a nigga.
Nobody.
Like,
that is. Let's see.
I mean, Florida is probably the most racist state I've been to, and I have been to, like I said, I've already performed where there was an Obama doll in the news, and I have been to Alabama. I've driven very quickly through Mississippi. but Florida is just, they're real comfortable. Like, and they still are just like, ugh.
The wild part is that dude did that 14 years ago and it's never come up until now. Like,
yeah,
he was Secretary of State. Like, that, you know, like, it wasn't like he got that job and it was the only job. He had to be having good jobs all the way up to Secretary of State, and nobody ever was like, you know what, probably shouldn't be in charge of this shit.
Oh no.
All right, let's go to the next one, guys. Kansas man. No. A Kansas man who blamed wrongful conviction on doppelganger gets $1.1 million settlement. Kansas, the state, has agreed to pay $1.1 million to a man who spent 17 years in prison.
Woo! No! For 17 years?
After being wrongfully convicted of a robbery he says was committed by someone who looks just like him. Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt said Tuesday that a settlement was reached with 42-year-old Richard Anthony Jones. Schmidt said Jones is the first person to agree to a settlement payout under a new state law that provides compensation to people who are wrongfully imprisoned. Two other mistaken conviction lawsuits are pending in Kansas. We are committed to faithful.
Okay.
Yeah. We are committed to faithfully administering.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Which one is the, I need to know, which one is the criminal.
So on the left, is the criminal. And on the right,
I knew it.
On the right is the dude that got convicted of the crime he didn't commit. It's funny because the dude on the right looks like he just tired of it. Like, God damn, these motherfuckers got me. Like, I ain't do shit.
Yeah.
The one on the left is like,
wow, same hair, doing literally look identical. Like,
I mean, he looked like him on a rough day.
The one on the right looked like he looked older.
Yes,
he could be his uncle or his daddy or something.
He's more handsome, honestly. And like, someone said they could get him a model deal. Like, I said, but 17 years of your fucking life, like,
right? And you didn't do it, but everybody in prison say they didn't do it.
Right.
So like, you be like, no, man, but I for real didn't do it. And everybody like, I know, man, I didn't kill my baby mama. So
I really would like to know, did they find the other guy that actually did it? Was he walking around like, ha ha?
He was a criminal mastermind. Like,
he's just, yeah, like, he's like, I just need to move Kansas. I'll be good.
That dude's thing is he just goes to different states looking like other people and robbing people. Like, he's like, in this state, I'll be sure.
Yeah, how did he get caught? Did he walk around going, well, you know who that cop looked just like me?
They said, how did they find him? Let's see. Eyewitness testimony sent Jones to prison for an attack and robbery in the parking lot of a Walmart. No physical evidence linked Jones to the crime. He always maintained his innocence. He was freed after supporters found evidence that another man who looked just like him lived near the Walmart.
Oh, wow. Don't you hate them if you have to do your own work to get yourself out? Like, can't they do anything? They work so hard to put you in, they don't do any effort to get you out.
The other part is that selfishly I feel like the hunt for this dude would have made a dope ass podcast, like how they figured out like who are all the suspects, like were they just rounding up light-skinned dudes with cornrows,
come on,
like I just need to know how it was going. Light-skinned
dudes were scared for a hot minute,
like did a light-skinned group with cornrows black men, did they just like start an R&B group too simultaneously, because like what we used to do back in the 90s. I just want to know.
I would very much watch that, listen to that podcast all the time, but I mean, like, you know, I know right now it was some woman that wants to fuck that dude that was like, he didn't do it. No, no.
Yeah, you know what? We watched on, last night on, last night on Netflix, we watched the Ted Bundy tape.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was even women with that, like, fucking Ted Bundy killed like 30 people. And it was even women in the courtroom that was like, he can kill this pussy. I know that much.
Yes. I was like, what is wrong with these women?
He didn't do it. I free him. Okay. He smiled at me. Free him. He need to go free.
Someone called 911. Hey.
Yeah. I got something you can stab, Ted. I got something you can stab right on up. I was like, oh my God.
Oh man.
But, yeah.
You have to literally find like a severed head in his bag and be like, you brought another bitch in the house,
right? I can't believe if you wanted some head, Ted, I would have gave you some head. I can't believe you would stoop to this.
I can't believe I missed that. All right. Oh man,
his lawyers would.
No, I mean,
go ahead.
And I just don't think he's attractive. I don't get that. I know a lot of women saw that. And,
yeah, everybody's. You know what's crazy is so one, it's kind of funny, right? So Twitter now, when it came out, you know, everybody's talking about it on Netflix and all the stuff, and they're live tweeting it, and like that became a big deal that morning because apparently there's a movie coming out about Ted Bundy, and Zac Efron is starring as him.
Okay.
And the trailer's all stylized to be like Zac Efron is this handsome, like attractive, like, you know, like lady killer, blah blah blah. And so then the whole timeline at the same time was basically like Ted Bundy wasn't even that hot, and it was funny to me because it was like they were retroactively insulting the serial killer. I'm like, well yeah, that's because we know he's a serial killer. Like it's, you know, like it's not like we could, like if he wasn't a serial killer, we would be like, oh, he was all right. Like it wasn't like he, you know, I think one, because he was a serial killer back in the day, it turned into like he's a snack when it was like, he was snack on you.
he was steal your snacks.
Right. But now it's the opposite where it's going to the other end where it's like, this motherfucker's ugly. I'm like, yeah, he killed 30 people. You know,
I'd be mad if someone that ugly killed me.
Zac Efron might could kill me, but I'm not getting in no car with this weirdo. But
tell them they don't know how I died.
Right. It was, but it's crazy watching the documentary because like them women really was like throwing the draws at him. Like, oh my God, I know they say he killed the people, but like, oh my God, he smiled at me. I'm just like, oh what?
Yeah. One crazy woman had a kid with him while she was in prison.
While he was in prison. Yeah, she married him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Someone proposed on the stand. And then, like, well, you know, and then Charles Manson had a whole, like, a gang of bitches. So, something about, like, the charisma of, like, I've been choked out and someone said, like, I want to kill you, but it wasn't turning me on.
Right.
Like, I
don't know. It's the ultimate. I think it's just the ultimate. Like people always say, like, you know, crazy people had the best sex. Like, oh, this person's sex is so like, oh, don't fuck with that chick, she's crazy, or that dude.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
I will go straight to that one.
And maybe this is the ultimate extreme. Like, this is the craziest person, so they must think like he must got the craziest dick. Because other than that, it don't make sense.
No, it don't. I mean,
there's definitely an adrenaline rush while the whole time you're wondering if he's going to pull a knife out from under the bed and nipples off or something. Right. Like, I don't know.
Like, oh my God, what are you going to do with that crowbar? Oh no.
I'm good. I'm on nothing that good. I am good.
I'm going to go on a limb here, guys. And, I'm going to say also, I would not want Ted Bundy, having sex with me, guys. I'm going to go ahead. I think we all agree on that one.
You fuck around and never be the same. I'm good.
So with this guy, his lawyers with the Midwest Innocent Project and Paul E. Wilson Defender Project at the University of Kansas presented the other man at a hearing in June 2017. After the victim and witnesses withdrew their identification of Jones, Johnson County District Judge Kevin Moriarty ordered Jones' release. While not saying the other man committed the crime, Moriarty found that based on the new evidence, no reasonable juror could have convicted Jones. The other man, known as Ricky, testified at the hearing that he did not commit the robbery.
What's his name?
Ricky.
You know what you mean, pretty?
Ricky.
Pretty Ricky?
You know you did it, Ricky. You know they call him Pretty Ricky.
Yeah,
they
saw this guy,
they're like, Ricky.
I'm sure like name, I hate the typecast, but the name like Ricky, I feel like he did it.
Yeah, of course he did it. Eddie was raised by his grandmother. He usually has a woman paying his bills. I can tell you everything about Ricky. I know Ricky.
Investigators focused on Jones after his picture was picked out of a police database 3 months after the crime by a man who admitted he was on drugs during his only encounter with Jones. According to court documents filed by the defense, Jones' lawyers argued the lineup of photos shown to the victim and other witnesses was highly suggestive, with Jones' picture the only one of six photographs that even resembled the description of the robbery suspect. Under the settlement, they set him up. Under the settlement, Jones was granted a certificate of innocence and will receive counseling and health care through the state for 2 years. Oh, 2 years? So nice.
A fucking certificate. Hi, I'm innocent. Right. So like, when you go to a job interview, they're like, well, this shows that you robbed somebody in Walmart.
It's funny. Funny you should say that. He pulls it out of his pocket and unfolds it. It's funny you should say that. I just happen to have that here.
What the fuck?
Right?
Yeah, I'm just.
I got a medallion of honesty, a certificate of innocence.
Yeah, you gotta keep that shit taped to your forehead. Then I have a question. Do they automatically get him out of the system, or do you have to fight to clear your name?
I don't know. I assume they would.
I think you have to fight to clear it. I don't think that they just take it out.
Me either.
But if they do, it's right away.
Y'all are right, because the settlement requires final approval by a state council, so it's not over yet.
I watch enough Law and Order. I know. And then on Law and Order, too, they always have that flip around where it's like, oh, let's release him from jail. And they go right over to Rikers and it's like the doors open up. That doesn't happen. They stay in jail for like a week or so. Like they like know they're innocent and getting out, and everyone else knows they're not a criminal now. So they're like got eyes on them. They're like, oh, he didn't really do it.
Yeah, you know, they don't care when your name flag in that database. And that's the thing, you know, cause everybody goes by those databases and, you know, it's almost punishment forever. You can be like, I ain't do it no more. They. Like most employers don't give a fuck. Once you're on the list, they just automatically boot you out.
Well, shout out to the Innocent Project. They
unless he was like a rich white kid, like if he had some like trust fund money, then he'd be out of the system. Like,
right.
They would place his another face in there.
They'd be like, free him.
Yeah, and like and like you said, shout out to that project.
The Innocence Project.
Yes, because stuff like that is needed. You know, a lot of people shit on stuff like that, but they be getting people out of jail on cases that otherwise wouldn't even have been looked at.
17 years, dog. 17 years. Oh, my God. Like,
what's so bad is like not even the Innocence Project, when people are like, I know someone personally, but this happens to a lot of people, where they know they didn't do the crime, but they have to stay in jail until their trial.
Yes.
And they choose to just take some, like, oh, we want to just have 2 or 3 years. I mean, months in jail, or do you want to wait 17 months to your trial?
Right.
And they're like, well, I'm stay in jail. And you just, you know, and it's like, they don't have a good enough lawyer or they don't have bail money. And that's messed up. Cause now you are a convict. You can't get an apartment complex. Like you can't get like credit.
Can't get any form of assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy got, his coworker got fired, came back and robbed the place. And they tried to say he was in on it. And so he was in jail for 2 months waiting for his trial date. And he said, forget it. They said you can admit and say what you did, admit guilt, and it's time served. But he's now a convict and he didn't do it, but he was gonna be put in jail. And so that's like, man, it's just so messed up. Money is how you get out of the system. I know, I had a DUI, I got out because of money.
Yeah. I was like a lot of times people end up having to like plead down and stuff, and you know, that's another way you can just, you know, you end up with this conviction on your record, even though it's for a lesser charge. But you know, it's hard to get a job with that shit, and most of the time whenever you plead, you still end up on some type of like parole slash probation slash like it don't do nothing else. So it's like you jaywalk, and now it's like, oh, repeat offender, this motherfucker already got a weed conviction, and this motherfucker jaywalking, so that's double it up. Like, it's crazy.
You
can,
like, get everything canceled. I had a car accident, and it was in inclement weather, and they thought it was like, you know, trying to give me like a really serious charge for driving with that, and I beat the charges. I was like, they're like, okay, there's nothing wrong with you. You weren't drinking and driving. You weren't on drugs or anything like that. But I still had to pay court costs.
Right.
I still had $100 with it. And the DA was mad that I got off. They were convinced that I was like, this is very serious charges. And I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I didn't do it.
It costs money. It costs money just to be accused of some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So like, my system, go into the Ohio court system right now, and it says, like, not, like, you know, charged and then dismissed, but I still have, my last payment is this month. I'm paying them, I had to pay $600 in court costs.
Wow.
So, yep. And I could have gotten a lawyer instead of doing the defender, but that would have been $2,000. So.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they just get you. They're just trying to get some money. It's the money,
right,
honey.
It's money.
Well, all right, let's score this, guys. 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Carrie?
Oh, 100. 17 years, 100.
All right. Blair?
Yep. Yeah, because right. Of the 17 years, 100.
All right.
Because he did look like him. He
yeah, I was like going to say, for me, I'll give it a 75 because he looked like him. But
I feel bad for the witnesses a little bit because they were probably like, man, I really thought that was you. Like, you got to admit, it looks like you.
Right. Like, I feel like he's walking out of. I feel like he's walking out of prison and the other dude's walking in and he's like, okay, I can see how y'all made that mistake. You know?
Yeah, like, I mean. If he like found like Islam or something when he was in there, or Christianity, he was like, right. I forgive you, I'm peaceful, but he might have come out now. He is a criminal. You made a criminal. You
right.
Put him in
That's
jail
true.
For 17 years.
But now like, he got, what else does he come up? Now he got $1.1 million to do a master crime with.
I could go through that in like 3 years, just so you know.
True.
Right. That's why I was, when you said one, I was like, that's it? I mean,
but if you investing it in the one crime, I mean, I feel like it could be a come up. You could pull out some Ocean's 11 shit if you got the right.
Yeah, Ocean's 11. Yeah. Ricky 17. I'm gonna get Day Day and then Mama and them. And,
yeah. Oh, it's on. Get Junebug. We gon' it's on. Get Peanut. Yeah. We about to do this shit.
Nobody. Actually, he could go legit. He could just get like some hood rich like scheme. They'll like get like those used tire shops. You have a chain of them.
Yeah, that's smart.
rob the check cashing place. Like, they could do a whole check cashing heist. I would watch that movie. Malcolm Lee, get on that. Malcolm Lee, I know you probably listen to this podcast. Hey, you love making black movies out of white movies. Can you just make a Ricky 17 and we'll watch it?
I sure will.
That's awesome. I like that.
All right, let's go to our next game. It's a little game we like to call Guess the Race.
Yay!
Okay.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Blair Nyes, to guess the race. And the chat room and Karen play along, and everybody playing is racist. All right.
Okay.
Let's start. A Michigan family on vacation in Miami was asked to leave their flight after passengers reportedly complained about their body odor.
Oh.
According to Doug. According to WPLG, Yossi Adler, it's spelled Yossi Adler.
Oh.
His wife and their 19-month-old daughter said they were booked from booted from their American Airlines flight Wednesday night. All of a sudden, as soon as they took us off, they closed the gate, and then they said, sorry sir, some people complaining you had body odor and we're not letting you back on. The Adler said they had no body odor and asked actually asked people in the airport if they smelled.
Smell
me real quick, man. Smell me. Do I stink? Exactly. Put me back on the plane.
Yeah.
Yossi told WPLG that he wants to know the real reason they were forced out the plane. American Airlines released the following statement Thursday. The Adler family were asked to depart the plane last night after several passengers, along with our crew members, complained about their body odor. The family were provided hotel accommodations and meals and rebooked on a flight to Detroit today.
Take a shower and get back on.
Right. They were like, can you just wash your ass real quick though, for real? Like, I mean, just in case. We'll send you to Detroit tomorrow, okay? Yeah. All right, guess the race of this family. Start with you first, Blair.
This is hard because I was gonna guess one race, which made me feel very racist. Is it all races? It's not just like
all races. Or black? Don't just have to be white or black. It could be whatever race you think it is.
Because Adler, the name makes me lean towards white. And they said wet dog. They said wet dog. I would definitely say like white. But I'm thinking
not wet dog.
I saw someone say that in the comments, and that's the first thing I was thinking. I was like, those white people went on the plane with wet hair. And I'm going to guess Indian because. Just because of the smell and the last name, I still want to lean towards white, but I'm guessing Indian.
All right.
Sorry.
Karen?
Indian friend.
I'm gonna excuse myself because I think I've seen this.
You already seen this. Okay.
It just happened to float down Facebook.
All right. Let me check the chat room, see what these people believe. They're racist as well.
And they're going to Miami, so that makes me think they're white too.
All right. Let's see what the chat room wrote in. Indian, shrug. They gotta be white. That new gentrified Detroit white, going with the whites on this one. Smell like fish, onions, and feline on a grilled brioche bun with mayo. White,
oh.
White. Smell like wet dog inspired mayo and ass sweat. White, white. We don't want the funk. White, we don't want the funk. White, cause they didn't say it was racism. India cumin good. Ginger smell sounds racist, so African. Smells like teen spurt. All right, the correct answer is Karen had to accuse herself.
Mm-hmm.
And Blair went with Indian. The correct answer is white.
Gotta
boo you, gotta give you these boos. Sorry. Now some of you did get it right. Some of you said white. Let me play your applause. Here you go. Some good racism there, guys.
Yeah,
good job.
I'm so glad that happened.
Right? Because see, that's the thing with Guess the Race. You can either be right and racist.
Oh, they're happy. Oh, look at her bandana. Of course they smell. They're hippies.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they stink. They use crystals instead of deodorant.
Oh.
Patchouli oil doesn't smell.
Those are those.
Listen, man.
Those are those actual hippies. Yeah. No. I know that smell. They, mm-hmm. Yeah, they only shower after sex and working out. Those are those white people that like. I've used a crystal and I prayed on it so I don't smell anymore. No, okay. I would have guessed it if I saw the picture. Well, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. That's the game.
Oh, no. Yeah, my first apartment in Charlotte, I had an Indian family above me and a Mexican family below me, and I moved. I couldn't do it.
Does it smell?
Just their dinners.
Oh.
It wasn't like just the curry and everything. It was just. It was coming through. I was shoving Febreze sheets through my vent.
I can't. If like both of the aromas at the same time might be weird for me.
I could taste it. I couldn't do it.
It's very pungent. It's very pungent. We have Indian neighbors around us all the time over at our apartment complex. And like sometimes I don't know what dish it is, but there's one dish that kind of does smell like it's burning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that dish is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you even if you like curry, I eat Indian food, but it's just like right. It's like pungent and it's all the time. Like,
well, I just feel I just feel like
garlic can smell.
I just feel like I want to like knock on the door and try the dish one time. That's
right.
It.
That's I'm not
gonna
I do.
I mean, I'm not gonna cause see my thinking is if it smell like it's burning, right? And y'all mm-hmm. eating it, it must be good as fuck. That, cause how else would that logic make sense? You're not gonna eat something that smells like it, you know, that burned unless it's good. And they was making it all the time. Now, it could also be that particular neighbors, maybe they just couldn't cook and maybe she was over there burning shit up every night. And so it could be that too.
Never knock on the door because we used to live off of Tuckasegee. Like we were in the hood.
Yeah.
And they cooked. They were smoking ribs and wings and we were like, ooh, this smells good. And they invited us over and I went in, girl, there were roaches going up behind the stove. And I was like, I don't care how good it smells. I know what's happening now.
Well, obviously if there's roaches, I'm obviously not eating anybody's food. like I don't give a fuck who you are. But, like I had an aunt that we used to stay at our house and she had roaches. And, let's just say I would starve those weekends. I'd be like, really? Like, I'm gonna do a hunger strike. Like, my mom would see us on Sunday and be like, coming to pick us up to take us back home. And she'd be like, wow, you were eating like you haven't eaten all weekend. I'm like, cause I haven't. It was roaches in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I had this bottle of water. And that was it. Yeah.
Right.
It takes your appetite away. Yeah.
Can't do it, dog. Can't do it. All right. Let's go to the next one. Arrest. A man throws a girlfriend's black dildo from the balcony, assaults her with a pink one.
Oh, okay.
Police arrested Christopher Chapman, 26, after he allegedly pulled a blanket off of his girlfriend and tossed her black dildo from the third floor balcony, then retrieved her pink dildo and struck her in the face.
Sound like he was jealous of the dildos.
That's a sex crime right there.
I'm gonna have to go white on that one.
He was like, that dildo don't find you more than dildo. Me.
Why is it a black dildo?
Racism.
Pink dildo is just as good.
Yeah. The guy sounds like a bit of the guy sounds like a bit of a dick to me. If you ask me. The incident.
In fact, he was two dicks.
The incident happened January 14th. Where officers responded to a domestic dispute between Chapman and his girlfriend over 4 months. The victim states, now listen, let me just say something. Okay, four months? The dildo's been there longer than you, okay?
Come on!
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to throw out somebody's gently used dildo after you only been there 4 months.
Right, and now to that, you don't know what kind it is. You're not throwing out my Hitachi 45 that I done spent my good money on that you plug into the wall like a chainsaw. No. Fuck you.
Right. This is diesel powered, okay?
Yeah, come on.
You throwing out my diesel power.
He threw out the balcony.
Right.
Yeah, my $200 dildo. Kiss my ass.
Also in my mind, that's just somebody walking downstairs like they got slapped upside the head with a dildo. Just like, what the fuck is going on apartment 3?
Could you explain that to somebody? Man, what happened? I got hit with a dick. Why are you lying? Why are you lying? You be like, no, y'all.
That is when I would go knock on the door.
Right, yeah.
I'd be like, what apartment? They are having a party. They are throwing dicks out the window.
Excuse me, did someone throw a black dildo out of this apartment? I just want to return it. I just want to let you know it found a good home, okay?
Just put in the dishwasher, it's good to go.
You know, I mean, come on, guys. If we can take in pets that need homes, then why not dildos? Recycle. The victim states she was go ahead.
No, I just think it's hilarious. He hit her in the face with a dick.
Yeah. The victim states she was on the couch when Chapman pulled a blanket from her, took her black dildo, threw it from the third story balcony. At this point, according to the victim, the altercation reportedly turned physical. Chapman grabbed the victim's pink dildo and began to poke at her, and then used it to strike her in the face. Chapman claims the victim slapped him upon the left side of his face, which escalated the argument. According to the police report, The pair eventually ended up in the kitchen, where Chapman claims the victim obtained a large kitchen knife and began to run towards him, at which time he pushed her away from him, and she dropped the knife, picked up the pink dildo, exiting the kitchen. Chapman told police he was afraid that the victim would strike him with the pink dildo. I mean, after you hit her, after investigating, yeah. Officers determined that the scratches and the split lip on the victim were the result of being assaulted with the pink dildo. So he hit her hard.
Yes.
And Chris,
her lip was
right.
And you know what? Not trying to be funny. I don't believe him. Right. I believe she was in there masturbating. He was like, "What the fuck is this?" Got mad and going, "Why are you using
those passive aggressive things?" Like where she's like, "Do you mind if I have a dildo?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm cool with it." But then like they had a fight, and it was like, "All these dicks in here.
Why you need anything bigger than me?" He's like,
"You said you were cool with it. I lied. Of course I don't like that you have two different dicks."
What's the second dick for? What's the second dick for, Sarah? I also like to think that he went to look in the drawer to get like some batteries and then was like, "What the fuck is this?" Like,
yeah, no, that's not cool.
Why do they have all these double D's? Nobody buys double D's anymore.
Damn, D's. Woo.
Like, was he that's just sitting up? Like, did she, she came home late at night from the club and he was sitting in the corner in the dark smoking a cigarette, like your parents waiting on you to break curfew? Like, I think we need to talk about these dicks, okay?
But like, let's have the dick talk.
When were you gonna tell me about these dicks, Sarah, huh?
He turns the light on. Yeah. He lays them out the table.
I know.
Like, I found your dicks, Karen.
Yeah, I know, right?
You just been walking around here like with dicks everywhere, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Be like,
you know, women are, we're really good. Like, if we don't want you to know we have it or what we're doing, like, I've had ex-women be like, "You don't masturbate." I'm like, "Okay, because right. I am right now." You don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He came in there mad, threw it on the ground, but like, do you suck this dildo's balls like you do mine? Tell me.
Right. After investigating, they determined he was lying. And then he was arrested and charged with domestic assault, posted $1,000 cash bond. He is scheduled to appear in court Tuesday, January 22nd. Guess the race of Christopher Chapman, Karen?
White. And I don't believe anything that he's saying.
And Blair?
Yeah, definitely white.
All right, let's go to the chat room, see what they believe. Threw the black dick out the window, white. Won't allow BBC in his vagina, white. Tired of playing cuck to the big black dildo Caucasian. Pimp hand strong, black. Bitch, I told you, throw this out. Pink one, huh? White and risk averse. White. Law and order special non-victims unit, white. She wouldn't suck his dick for $175,000 worth of Evian water, white.
Aww.
White.
Damn.
Got a little racist. Damn. John Mayer PP while being jealous that the black dildo pounded her deeper than he ever could. White. Dick not bomb, white. And he was mad when he saw that BBC, white. The correct answer is, and everybody went white except for one person, and all of you guys missed it. He was black.
What? Wow.
Okay. Team white skin.
Nope. I need evidence. We got to see what this penis looks like.
I'm gonna put the picture up, but I also have to give the golf clap to the person.
Team white skin.
Yeah, only one person got this right, and you deserve a golf clap. Okay.
What was his last name again?
His last name is Christopher Chapman. Chapman. C H A P M A N.
Yeah. You said Chapman, I was thinking it might be black, but I was like, nah, cause like, I don't think that, you know what? You asked if he, what race he was. She yeah. was white.
Oh, mate, I can see that.
I think I was thinking about this more about like from the woman's perspective. Cause I don't think a black woman would let anyone hit her in the face with a dildo and he's okay.
Come on. You know, you meet some black women, they only like to get hit in the face with the real one. So you ain't gonna hit me in the face with a plastic one.
She tried to stab that nigga too.
No. And that story would have ended with, but he threw her a dildo, then he hit her in the face, and then he had a dildo up his ass. Like,
All right, let's go to the bonus round. Okay, where's my bonus round music? Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, we've reached the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 0-1. I think Blair is 0-2. But we're in the bonus round where everything's worth double the points. So
this could be anybody's game.
Let's see who's gonna pull away here in the bonus round. A man who left 2 pounds of marijuana in an Uber was arrested by undercover officer while trying to retrieve said 2 pounds of marijuana. Oh. A 21-year-old man was arrested after police say he met up with an undercover trooper to try and get back the high-quality marijuana he allegedly left in the backseat of an Uber. Malik Mollett, 21 years old, is being held on $150,000 bail. Jesus. What? They giving that much time for weed? That's a lot.
Really good weed.
That must have been. That must have been some of that new shit. Police say that Mollett booked an Uber ride near Pittsburgh in late December. He left behind a bag with some valuable cargo inside. He contacted Uber later through email and asked them if he could somehow get him back to his item, the bag. Like, what did he say? Hey, guys, I left something illegal in the Uber and I'm gonna need y'all to help me get this back. His Uber driver was getting ready to return the bag, but looked inside and found 2 pounds of marijuana, which police say has a street value in the thousands. Well, I gotta say, guys, if you look at my illegal bag before returning it, you're not getting a 5-star rating. I'm just gonna come out. I gotta give you less than 5.
This is what, you know, it's not even the race here, it's the age. That 21-year-old millennial thing, cause like, I would say no black person would do something that stupid, but, and you get under, you know, these young thug age, black people are just as stupid, and they're doing white people stupid shit, and they don't have the same, like, privileges.
It's like how I try to get into trap music, but then like, every time I get into trap music, I always find out the artist that I like is in prison or going to prison or on the run from prison. Cause they all doing stupid shit. All they do is get high on these like fucking like big name drugs. And by big name, I mean like, it's not just weed. It's like some shit you gotta go to medical school to understand. And then they do crime. It's the only thing they good at. So.
Yeah. And tattoos.
Yes.
And crime.
And face tattoos. Like,
you don't get face tattoos.
I'm scared to like them. Like, I hear some shit and I'm like, oh yeah, you can go to the gym with this. You can damn put this in the car, get hype. And then I'm like, oh, he did what? Oh, okay. Never mind. So like the second album will come out in 2029 when he is released. We might get a sequel to the album. Like, nah, I'm good. So,
you're like, oh, this is it. Yes. Oh, yeah. Won't hear anything else for another decade.
Right. This is the shit. What is he currently working on? Here it says life in prison. He's currently working on
license plate.
Mollett's Uber driver. So he looked in the bag, and told, when the Uber driver looks in the bag, he realizes he's been toting around a bunch of marijuana that's sealed and packaged inside the bag. And he's supposed to deliver it to the person that left his vehicle. The Uber driver called the police instead. The troopers found Mollett's number in Uber records and reached out to him and pretended to be his driver and even sent him a picture of the bag to ensure it was his. Mollett agreed to meet with an undercover trooper at McDonald's so he could retrieve the bag. When the trooper returned the bag, police say Mollett seemed excited and happy to get it back. Aw, not realizing who was actually behind the delivery. I think he even made a reference to how much did you guys smoke? And the undercover officer that was dropping it off said they did not consume any of the marijuana. Police said Mollett acknowledged the trooper that the bag was his, and that's when they arrested him in the restaurant and took him into custody. Wow. Yeah. They just called McDonald's a restaurant. All right.
Yeah. That's what you got.
Guess the race, Karen. Malik Mollett.
Black.
Karen's going black. Blair?
Yeah, no, there's no white person named Malik.
All right. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. He is literally too done to secure the bag and will definitely become a 5%er in jail, Black. Aww. I need my money smoking, Black. Too young and dumb to know he needed to take that L, Black. I keep hoping for white Malik, but this is just another misguided homie. Sometimes you just have to take them L, man. Black, Malik is black, Black, Bobby Shmurda cellmate, Black hot nigga. Aww. Negro, Black.
That's what I was talking about.
My man Bobby Shmurda. Trump, all Trump people getting arrested, like Bobby Shmurda crew, like right before they got Bobby, it was like, damn, everybody going to jail. I wonder if Bobby gonna go to jail. That's how I feel watching Trump.
That is what's happening, right around you.
Metaphor. He's like, Manafort caught a body about a week ago, like, oh, Trump going to jail, going to jail. Thought his favorite rapper was a real gangster, Black. The correct answer is, guys, and this time 100% of you guys went with the same answer, y'all went Black, and you all got it right. He's Black.
And it's that millennial stupidity, man.
You did it. What'd you say, Blair?
Millennial stupidity, man.
Yeah.
And you know what's even dumb? How you gonna be a drug dealer and you fucking caught on an Uber? Am I the only one?
You could technically make a, you know, I can kind of see the idea of wanting an Uber rather than like your own car, like if police is tracing you or something. But once you leave that much weed in the car, it's over.
That's there to stay.
Also, this nigga look like
We were on the road with a comic, and he left about like an ace, nothing major, in a hotel room. And he was like, "Oh man, should we go back?" And I was like, "No, you just tipped your cleaning staff."
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, what you want to go to prison? This dude look like Ludacris with weave. I don't know what happened. Like, he definitely looked like he definitely had a whole lot of weed on him. So
I don't think he would have gotten in that much trouble if he was white, though. That's the uncool part.
True.
That was how much was the bail bond? Like $150,000 or something? Like
$150,000 just for bail? That's just for bail. Like, what the fuck was in this weed?
It's
a gun?
No, it was weed.
We found it. Like, he left. They know how. He left weed in the car and also the gun to kill Kennedy. Okay. We didn't tell you about that part. What the fuck? All right. Last segment, guys. We got to talk about a little something on this show we call Sword Ratchetness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Sword Ratchetness is where we discuss sword crimes, because everyone's so busy talking about gun crime, we don't even have sword laws and have swords under control in America. And we like to start from the bottom and build up. Okay. So let me play my long sound effect. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And now he's dead.
One day I hope he get away. He always dies.
Accidents happen, says a woman of samurai. Yeah. Says a woman of samurai sword slash and dash.
Slash and dash?
The Queens woman accused of slicing her live-in boyfriend.
Yeah.
With a samurai sword. He must have threw some dildos away. I don't know. With a samurai sword. Thursday.
Come
on.
She was like, you know what? I'm going to have an accident with this sword real quick. She testified Thursday that their bloody fight is still a blur to her, and that she grabbed the blade because it was the first thing she could get her hands on. I did not pick or choose, said Carla Barber in Queens Supreme Court. I grabbed the first thing that was next to me. If it had been a sandal, it probably would have been with a sandal.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
See, I like how she tried to sound like a black mom on that one. Like, I would have hit him with a flip flop if I had it.
I mean, was the sandal on the wall?
I mean, I've been blackout angry where it's like it doesn't matter what you throw, but. That's a sword.
It's a sword,
yeah. Yeah, there's a big difference. Your Honor, I looked on the wall. I had a sword and a flip-flop all both on the wall.
Right.
And the sword just happened to be the first one I grabbed.
Barbara, who...
that was his sword, and she hated that sword. It was tacky. It was breaking all of the ambiance in the apartment. Mm-hmm. This tacky-ass sword. the feng, and your damn Goodfellas poster.
The feng shui was all off in the apartment, and aww, he had to go. Okay, Scarface poster, everything, and your Kill Bill DVDs. Barbara, who's charged with first degree assault, could face up to 25 years in prison if convicted. She confirmed that she and her boyfriend Franklin Lareria had just finished having sex when things quickly went off the rails. Lareria, who suffered from 2 deep gashes but is now acting as a defense witness, testified that he grabbed Barbara by the hips and tossed her from his 12-year-old son's room as they argued over whether the boy should visit Lareria's sister and her alcoholic husband.
Oh, okay.
This is some drama. Okay.
That is some ratchet drama.
Right.
Yeah, he's Spanish, or he's Latino, so that's why he had a knife.
Yeah, I don't know the race of these people. Well, I know her race. It looked like she, actually, I don't know her race. She is covered up from head to toe. I don't know what's going on with these people. My husband got up and upset. He grabs me. He throws me very strongly and very abruptly. I fall towards the table where the ornaments are. That's not who, said Barbara, who's not technically married to Larrera. Oh, they had to throw that in there. Yeah. You mean your husband, ma'am?
We throwing that common law, they were like, common law my ass. Did y'all sign a contract?
When I fell, the things from the table fall on top of me and hit me in the head. It sounded like a coconut. Lareria came at her again, she said, which is where Barbara's account became more hazy. It all happened so fast. I only remember that I didn't want him to get closer to me, and then I saw the blood and I started shaking. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't see the blood. Barbara, the former flame of disgraced ex-senator Hiram Monserrate, then told the jury about an accident before in my face, a reference to a clash with the politician that left her with 20 stitches. Monserrate was arrested for slashing Barbara with a broken wine glass after being captured on video dragging her by the hair through his apartment building. Barbara defended her.
They are both
the
Latino.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, they're both Latino.
This is a lot.
This sounds like a Puerto Rican fight. Flip-flop swords, tables, drunken husbands. I'm sorry.
Listen, guys, be careful with these swords. That's all we're trying to say. Be careful with these swords. It's crazy out here in this world. Don't get in fights with people that got swords in their house. Mm-mm. Blair, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Make sure y'all pick it up. Telling jokes for two.
Here.
Look at him. He's so cute. He's not awake. Oh my God. All right, yes. Guys. Make sure y'all pick up Telling Jokes for two. Support Blair and her baby, okay? Okay, we got babies out here. Follow them on Instagram. I'll put all the links in the show notes for the album and for Blair's Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. Blair, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, baby. This has been fun.
Bye.
Until next time.
Guys, thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.